Welcome in to the Unnamed MMA Podcast. I'm Adam Abdallah. Along with me, as always, Jordan Sherwood. Follow him on Twitter at WoodOnESPN1000. Get all of his picks, FatJackSports.com. Jordan, how are you, sir?
Well, how are you? You're reveling in several wins from last week at UFC 308. Prop of the night, parlay. And me, well, my recommendations and most of the picks at FatJackSports.com did not hit. So
no, listen, we win as a team, we lose as a team, you know?
Well, I appreciate that. You always were and are a team player. But, you know, the three winning weeks of FatJackSports picks go out the door. And we got to start over here with UFC going across the border to Edmonton, Alberta, Canada.
Yeah, we're going to Canada, America's hat. As we preview this UFC fight night, what did you think of UFC 308? And we hyped it up pretty good, and it turned out to be, I mean, listen, the prop of the night absolutely hit. I get it. Topuria knocked out Holloway, but I was going to text you. Holloway always looks like he's a skeleton, but he looked way more like the weight cut. Really,
yeah, it wasn't. You're right. It did not look like a great weight cut for Max Holloway. But I think, you know, look, he's been teasing it for a while. We saw, you know, just in his previous fight that lightweight is in his future. He's already made that clear. His next fight will be at 155 pounds. It always was a tedious task as he gets older to make the 145 pound limit. But I will argue, look, he won the first two rounds, I think, in most judges' scorecards and most people watching the fights, he was doing the right things. It's just that, you know, you come to a realization when you see fighters continue to evolve and continue to fight better competition and win, that, look, Ilya Topuria might be a very special talent. There's a reason he's unbeaten, and you cannot bat an eye the fact that the last two fights, he's knocked out Alexander Volkanovski and Max Holloway. Possibly consider, you know, 1A, 1B in featherweight history, although I'd argue Jose Aldo should be among that conversation as well. But, like, yeah, Ilya Topuria looks to be special. And, you know, Khamzat Chimaev, like, just ran through Robert Whittaker. And, look, I still believe you can make the argument that Khamzat Chimaev might be the best round-and-a-half fighter ever. Because, you know, what if Robert Whittaker did get out of that first round?
Yeah.
Because that's the question mark. That can Khamzat Chimaev win these fights in third rounds and championship rounds? But running through the former middleweight champion of the world in the way that he did, you know, he's right in the mix for either a title shot at 185 or sitting out or fighting a number one contender fight.
Yeah, in a year, because that's what he does.
Yeah, exactly.
In a year. We'll see him in 2025. Thanks. The end of 2025.
Thanks for coming. But outside of that, like Bullet Magomedov, you know, the method of victory was spinning back fists.
Yeah.
Plural.
Plural. Okay, so I saw a rumor, and again, it's MMA. There's lots of rumors flying. Has he fought in the U.S.? Is it true that he can't fight in the U.S. because he's blind in one eye?
There's a rumor that he is not able to fight in the U.S. because of, you know, visa issues. And yeah, he has not performed ever. He's been in Brazil. He's been in China. He's been in, you know, obviously the UAE. He's, you know, Saudi Arabia. Look, if he wants to make any opportunity to win a championship, he's going to have to fight in the U.S. at some point and figure that out. So I think he needs to have a major fight next, someone in the top five in that middleweight division. The guy that maybe not, doesn't fight for a championship, I hate to say it, is Magomed Ankalaev. Like, you know, again, boring fight, you know, kind of just did, you know, mediocre. And we would have liked to see him look impressively against Alexander Rochek, but he wasn't. So who knows? Who knows if Ankalaev is going to get that opportunity to fight, Alex Pereira for the championship.
All right, let's go up to America's hat in Canada and preview this UFC fight night. Our first fight on the main card in the welterweight division, Mike Malott against Trevin Giles. Giles here is plus 210, the underdog. Mike Malott, minus 280, a heavy favorite. Makes his second appearance of the year. He's trying to come off of a rebound from coming off of a third-round stoppage loss to Neil Magny, UFC 297 in Toronto back in January. He's 10-2-1 over overall and has a 100% finish rate. So when he wins, it's usually by finish. Giles comes in 2-3 in his last five starts since moving to welterweight. So Mike Malott here, the heavy favorite, minus 280 going into this one to open this main card.
Yeah, I mean, this is a showcase fight for Mike Malott. You know, again, we're catering to the Canadian fan base here, so you see a lot of Canadian men and women competing. Mike Malott's going to have an opportunity to bounce back after he was, you know, certainly humbled in his last fight, a fight that he was winning, but then he got stopped by Neil Magny. Malott is a very good athlete and a very well-rounded but excellent submission ace. Six of his 10 wins have come, you know, via submission, although he has not done it, obviously, you know, recently with the loss, but outside of that, he has, you know, won via submission in what, three of his last four fights in the UFC. And, you know, Giles is a guy that's a good athlete, good boxer, former police officer as well. But a guy that's been stopped. You know, if you look at it, in his six losses, three by knockout, three by submission. And I think, you know, he's also become a guy that's like fought, you know, these bigger time prospects. He's lost to Michael Morales. He lost to Dricus Duplessis. So Duplessis. So, like, you know, I think Malott should win this fight. The odds indicate that he should win this fight because at last check here on Wednesday afternoon or Wednesday morning, he's at, you know, minus 265. Betting favorite. So I think you're at some point going to have to look for methods of victory. And the method of victory, I think, that Mike Malott wins this fight is via submission. Giles has succumbed to submissions before, and I think Mike Malott's going to look for it. And that's, again, why they're matching Mike Malott up. They want to start off the Canadian crowd in a frenzy and get them excited about the rest of the card.
Yeah, so that method of victory that you're looking for, Malott by submission plus 220, Malott by knockout plus 250, Malott by points plus 440, Giles by knockout plus 500, Giles by points plus 550.
I mean, the one thing that maybe you consider is, you know, Mike Malott also is a pretty good striker, and Giles has been stopped, as I mentioned, via knockout. So maybe it's just inside the distance for Mike Malott. You know, obviously it cuts it down significantly, but still, I think you get plus value if it's probably a combination of both, or maybe it's around like $1.10. Mm-hmm. That would be what I would suggest. You know, Mike Malott was, again, he was winning the fight convincingly against Neil Magny, but Neil Magny is the veteran of all veterans and gets the stoppage in the third round. I don't think Giles is as talented as Neil Magny, so my recommendation would be Malott in the parlay, Malott inside the distance, and maybe a sprinkle on Malott via submission.
All right, he is in our parlay then. Our next fight, Marc-Andre Barrialt against Dustin Stolfitz. Stolfitz is plus 160 on the money line here. Barrialt is minus 205 on the money line. These guys are a couple of losers. I mean, listen, Barrialt's coming in on a two-fight skid. He's 5-7-1. Dustin's coming in. He's 2-5 in his UFC career, and he gets finished a lot. They don't have winning records. They're two losers. Tell me I'm wrong, Jordan.
They're a perfect matchup for each other.
Someone has to win this fight. I mean, I guess technically they don't. Technically you could draw. So yeah.
Yeah. I think that, you know, Dustin Stolfitz is going to kind of rely on his grappling, his background in jiu-jitsu and look to take this fight to the ground, not want to contest this fight, you know, on the feet. The problem is that Marc-Andre Barrio is, you know, look, I think he's one of the bigger middleweights that we have in the UFC middleweight division. He's competed before, I believe, at light heavyweight, a very good striker, very good athlete, you know, trains down with the South Florida crew. And I just think that stylistically and like kind of from a power standpoint, he's probably going to be a little bit too much. Dustin Stolfitz is not going to be able to get this fight to the ground. Barrialt is going to be motivated by fighting in front of his home country men and women. So I think Barrio wins the fight. It's not a strong recommendation, a strong play, but I'm certainly comfortable putting this into our parlay as Canada starts off 2-0 on the main card.
All right, so we'll pop him into the parlay. Barrialt by points plus 195. Barrialt by knockout plus 220. Stolfitz by points plus 480. Stolfitz by submission plus 550. Stolfitz by knockout plus 750.
Just as we were talking about with the submission win for Mike Malott, maybe a little bit of a sprinkle for Barrio via knockout. If you look at the last two losses for Dustin Stolfitz against Abus Magomedov and Bruno Ferreira, both of them knocked him out. So I think that you certainly look at that. However, I would point to the fact that sandwiched in between those two losses were a guy I think that fights similarly to Marc-Andre Berrio, and that's Punahale Sariano, and he got submitted by Dustin Stolfitz. So again, that's the only reason why I'm not as comfortable and fully confident like a Fat Jack pick Berrio, but I think enough to have Berrio to win the fight.
All right, we'll put him in the parlay. Next up, one of our favorite fighters to watch, Derek Lewis, the Black Beast, plus 135 against Johanta Deniz, minus 175 right now. Listen, Derek Lewis, he fights a lot. He's fought a bunch. He got back in the win column last time, third round stoppage over Rodrigo Nascimento in St. Louis back in May. He's got the most knockouts in UFC history with 15. Deniz is coming out here. After starting, he's 8-0 in overall, not just in the UFC, but overall. So this should be a decent fight. Derek Lewis always is a kill-or-be-killed type of guy. So it's is he going to kill or is he going to be killed?
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be a stand-up fight. This is going to be a fight that favors Derek Lewis. Derek Lewis is not going to have to worry about takedowns, defending takedowns. Quite frankly, he might be the one that's looking for takedowns, because Deniz, kickboxing background, but very, very new to mixed martial arts. As you alluded to, only 8 fights on his his mixed martial arts career, one under the Dana White Contender Series, and he's 2-0 in the UFC, but he knocked out Austin Lane, and then, struggled, but won a fight against Carl Williams. So I think Derek Lewis, anytime, even though, he's getting up there in age, he's 39 years of age now, and certainly has not been the same, fighter. But, still, look who he's losing now at this portion of his career. Look who he's losing to, and look who he's winning. So just throw this out there. Losses recently to Ciryl Gane, Tai Tuivasa, Sergey Pavlovich, Sergey Spivak, Jelton Almeida. Wins over Rodrigo Nascimento, Marcos Ejiro de Lima, Chris Dacus, Alexei Oleinik. So, being the guys you're supposed to beat, losing to the upper echelon of the heavyweight division, I don't think Deniz has proven yet. We're getting the Black Beast at plus money. We are.
Damn, right we are.
Black Beast just going to have to avoid maybe some of those liver kicks, those body kicks that Deniz could certainly throw. But as long as he does that, and maybe Lewis just goes for the takedown, and Deniz ain't getting up. So I'll take Derek Lewis at plus money.
All right, so plus money. I'm only going to mention 2 methods of victory because the rest of them are 10-1. Besides, Deniz by knockout is minus 110, and Lewis by knockout is plus 210. Those are the only 2 options that are actually available.
Yeah, I mean, I think. Look, if you're if I'm going on Derek Lewis, then you go by knockout, plus 210. He lands something ground and pound, maybe, works it as well. So add a little bit of value if you want to. But if, again, plus 136, it's plus money for him to win the fight. So,
yeah,
I don't think there's anything wrong. Just, him doing that.
I've debate before looking at the odds, because I didn't look at the odds until I opened them up here for the method of victory. I looked at the odds, obviously, for the fight before we started. But in my mind, I was going to make Derek Lewis by knockout my prop of the night. I don't know if I want to do that. I don't know. I don't know yet. So I'm going to hold off and wait till we're done previewing the last 2 fights.
Okay.
But I'm writing it down as a potential prop of the night, because is it easier to just take the money line? They're not going the distance. These big boys ain't fighting for 3 rounds.
Yeah, it's likely that they're not.
They're not going to do a submission. So if Derek Lewis is going to win, he's going to win by knockout, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, Derek Lewis by knockout. Prop of the night. Doing it right now. Prop of the night. Derek Lewis by knockout. Plus 210. We're doing it. All right. I talked myself into it as I was talking about the good luck. Thanks. I'm playing with house money. We won last week.
That's true. You certainly are.
All right, our next fight, Rose Thug Rose, Nama Yunus against Aaron Blanchfield. This is the closest odds on the card. Aaron Blanchfield, minus 140, the favorite. Rose Nama Yunus, plus 110, the underdog. This should be a very good fight. It could determine who faces number one contender in this division. And right now, Nama Yunus making her third start at seeking a third consecutive win after posting consecutive unanimous decisions over Amanda Ribas and Tracy Cortez. Blanchfield coming through the flyweight late ranks. She lost back in March to Manon Farreau in Atlantic City. 6-1 in the UFC, 12-2 overall. So this should be a very good fight between these two. Five-round fight because it's a co-main event.
Yeah, originally was the main event, but you know, shifted to the co-main event. Both these ladies' last loss was to Manon Farreau, the outstanding French kickboxer. Fourth fight now for Rose Nama Yunus, so she's fully invested in fighting in the flyweight division, mm-hmm. and like just continues to does the things that Thug Rose does, and why she was a two-time UFC women's strawweight champion. You know, great kickboxing, understanding distance. Excellent submissions, very hard to take down. Really, her only flaw has been times like when she's been bullied, in there. It happened in the fight against Farreau in her flyweight debut. It happened when she lost the championship to Jessica Andrade. But, she's one of the best women's mixed martial artists that we've ever seen. And she's going to be able to utilize not only her experience in fighting in championship fights and five round fights, but understanding distance, understanding timing, and keeping fights, on the feet. And look, she showed she could do that against Ribas, and she showed she could do that against, Tracy Cortez. Blanchfield was like, just this meteoric rise, like just running through kind of people, her submission over Jessica Andrade, the submission over Molly McCann. But then she got humbled a little bit against Manon Farreau, who kept the fight standing. And look, Blanchfield is still evolving as a mixed martial artist, evolving as a striker, and not being able to fully rely on her Brazilian jiu-jitsu, which she's a black belt under, and her grappling. So I think we're going to get a similar fight to the last two fights that Rose Nama Yunus had, the fights against Ribas and the fights against Tracy Cortez. Fighters that are obviously starting the fight on the feet, are they able to get it to the ground and control? I think certainly Aaron Blanchfield will have moments where she'll be able to do that. But will it be enough? This right now, because Rose Nama Yunus is such like a cerebral fighter, but also sometimes just mentally, like just not there, can't pull the trigger. The Carla Esparza fight certainly comes to mind, where she wasn't able to just get going and was kind of just stuck in first gear. So for me, this is a no play. This is a no play for me. Yeah,
I can't. Not where I thought you were going to go.
Okay. I want to hear where you think I'm going to go. Because I can't. I mean, I think Aaron Blanchfield can be a special fighter, but like now she's got to prove it against a former champion in Rose Nama Yunus and someone that's had so much success. I probably will lean Blanchfield just because I'm not concerned about cardio.
Okay.
I think just the bullying aspect of it and the takedowns, but. I mean, Rose could just play Matador here and just outpoint Aaron for five rounds or three of the five rounds.
Yeah.
And I do also believe that she will be like the crowd favorite as well. And that could certainly play a factor when you're scoring at home and judges are reacting to mm-hmm. the crowd reactions.
I thought now producing and working with Carmen DeFalco for as many years as I have, his trope is always intra-division home dog. When you're getting a home dog, in within the division in the NFL, always take the home dog within the division. And it doesn't really, he says it now, it doesn't really work now, but in the past it had been a great gambling trend that you could do. And your trope, Jordan, is I'm getting blank at plus money, I'm taking blank at plus money. And I thought that Rose Nama Yunus would be one of those fighters where if you say, I'm getting Thug Rose at plus money, I'm taking Thug Rose at plus money. That's I thought you were going to go.
Yeah, look, but, again, the home dog thing doesn't make sense. Neither one of these women are Canadian.
Well, yeah, I'm just saying that's in the NFL. I was comparing tropes and gambling that people usually do. Like, I would say never bet against, LSU at night. I feel like That's my thing. They did lose. They lost on the road, but still, they lost. So I would say, like, Alabama goes there in a week, right? I mean, like, if you're going, oof, not for me. I would say, like, for you, that's like you just said it. We're getting Derek Lewis at plus money. Give me Derek Lewis at plus money. I thought you were going to say, you were getting Rose at plus money. Give me Rose at plus money.
Rose Namajunas has never won a fight when she's been plus
money. Ooh, okay. So you got to say that.
Yeah, well, I'm just looking at it now because you made me think of it. And oh, wait a minute. No, I'm so stupid. There was one major fight where she won. Yeah, no. This is fine. Call me out on this. When she won the title for the first time, she knocked out Joanna Jędrzejczyk. She was plus 350. So she cashed. But outside of that, has not performed. So that was, you know, several years ago. But, you know, again, it's a stylistic matchup. Be interested to see what weigh-ins look like as we get closer to fight week. But it's a no play for me as it stands here on a Wednesday.
All right. We will not play it. Looking at the money line here, Blanchfield by points, Rose Namajunas by points. Blanchfield is plus 160 by points. Namajunas by points is plus 195. Blanchfield by submission plus 450. Namajunas by knockout plus 700. Blanchfield by knockout 16-1. Namajunas by submission 17-1.
Yeah, I'm just, again, there's not a method of victory if you got to, like, land. It's going to be one lady by decision. I'm not seeing either one get finished by the other.
All right, we'll move on to our main event then, and we've got Brandon Moreno against Amir Albazi. This fight was supposed to take place earlier this year in Mexico City, but it will take place in Edmonton on Saturday night. Moreno right now, it was plus 165 earlier in the week. He is still, or minus 165. He's still minus 165. Albazi is plus 125, the underdog here. And what's interesting about this is Albazi had to have neck surgery. So it'll be interesting to see what he looks like after some time away for the surgery. Moreno also wanted to take some time off. He lost to Brandon Royval back in February and then said he was going to take some time off. Albazi is a perfect 5-0, but again, coming off this neck surgery, what's he going to look like?
Yeah, I mean, it's been since June since he competed, and that was a controversial, split decision victory over Kaikara France. Most people scored it for Kaikara France. And that was a 5-round fight. And we've obviously seen Kaikara France really showcase what he could do with his, you know, his victory, last time out over Superboy or Astro Boy. What's the dude's name? I forgot his name, but nonetheless, we know how good Kaikara France can be with, his knockout win over Steve Ursek. But I still, like, don't even know, like, is Albazi, like, really, really good? I think the UFC is high in him because of the matchups that they've tried to schedule for him. You know, a fight against Tim Elliott, which fell out. The fights against Brandon Moreno that fell out. The fight, obviously, against Kaikara France that had to be, replaced. He made his debut against Malcolm Gordon, that's established veteran, Juvio and Paiva. So, you know, this guy comes in with a lot of hype, very well-rounded, good boxer. Can go 5 rounds. We saw that on Showcase. But now you get Brandon Moreno. And Brandon Moreno, I mean, I think shocked so many people about how he evolved and became a champion, and just talented as he is, the scrambling and the cardio and the submissions and the knockout stuff that he's able to do. But is Brandon Moreno ready to perform? I mean, he's lost two in a row, albeit against Pantoja and Brandon Royval. We know how talented those guys are. Pantoja's a champ, and Royval just stopped the hype train of Tatsuya Taira. So, and Brandon Moreno is just so beloved. So he will be the home favorite for sure in this fight, even though he's Mexican, going up to Canada. They're going to love him there, and he's just such an entertaining fighter to watch. So for me, when I'm looking at this fight and seeing just, you know, stylistically how it's going to go, I'm expecting a lot of scrambles. I expect a lot of craziness. I think Brandon Moreno is just going to be better. And I'm getting Brandon Moreno right now here at $1.64 from FanDuel. So give me Brandon Moreno just to win the fight.
All right, Brandon Moreno on the money line at minus 164. If we're looking at methods of victory, Moreno by points plus 185. Albazi by points plus 230. Moreno by knockout plus 400. Moreno by submission plus 800. Albazi by submission plus 900.
There might be something to the Moreno via decision to get it at plus money. You know, I know Moreno has showcased, obviously, his ability to be a finisher, but Albazi, you know, I don't know if there's a weak link yet in his game that maybe it's something that Moreno can exploit for a finish. So for me, I'm just going to say Moreno, you know, wins the fight, but I wouldn't hate the plus 185 odds for the decision.
Okay, so our picks right now, Malat by submission at plus 220, a little sprinkle there. Berial via knockout, a little sprinkle there at plus 220. Derek Lewis money line at plus 135, Moreno money line minus 165, and my prop of the night, the Abdallah prop of the night, which is 1-0 in its last one, Derek Lewis by knockout at plus 210. Our parlay is only at two fights right now, Mike Malat and Marc-Andre Berrios at minus 280 and minus 205, so that brings us to plus 101 right there on those two.
I think you can safely add Surdi Sadai on the prelims. He's a $1.62 favorite, according to FanDuel. And let's also add Charles Air Jourdain, my boy, new back tattoo. It's going to be showcased this week. I think the Canadian shines against Victor Henry, and that's going to be a four-fight parlay. That should give us some nice, nice value.
All right, that brings us to, so we've got a minus 280, a minus 205, a minus 128, and a minus 162. That brings us to plus 480. I love it. So Malat, Berial, Jourdain, and Sadai at plus 480 for those. Let's hope that one cashes again, because even if the picks don't cash, the parlay and the prop of the night get us through the weekend. We win as a team, we lose as a team, Jordan.
That's the name of the game. I appreciate your love and support. It was a tough one for me last week at UFC 308, but we bounced back.
It's all good. Get all of Jordan's picks at fatjacksports.com. We're just 2 weeks away from UFC 209, too. These are coming fast and furious. I love it. Towards the end of the year.
Six more events. Yeah,
John Jones fights in 2 weeks, right? That's awesome.
Crazy.
It's going to be great. So make sure you follow Fat Jack Sports. Get fatjacksports.com to get signed up today and get all of Jordan's picks there. Also get the NFL, college football, the World Series. If you're listening, it's still going on. We're recording this on a Wednesday. It's game five, so maybe it's still going on after today. Also the NBA and tons of props as well. Follow Jordan on Twitter at WoodOnESPN1000. You can follow me on Twitter at Adam A. Abdallah. And we'll be back next week for another episode of the Unnamed MMA Podcast. Thanks for listening.